You're listening to The Hour of Time, and I'm Pooh.
And I'm William Cooper.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Did you ever get the feeling that you're just an actor in one of these Star Wars movies? Because sometimes I feel that way. Insanity is going on. Bill Johnson lied today to Congress. Lied. They lie all the time. Why is that such a surprise? We have him on the 911 tape. The stupid fool doesn't even know he's caught yet. So start sending your faxes, start calling, start writing your letters to the committee members, to your congressmen, and to your senators, and tell them Johnson lied. He's on the 911 tape. We want him charged with contempt and perjury. Do it. Now let's put it in perspective what happened today. Because like I told you, it would probably be stacked. They'd throw the public a couple of bones, and then everybody would go away. They are appealing to the emotional mentality of the stupidity of the sheeple. Yes. And this is from one of our station chiefs. A good 6 hours have passed since I just about lost it this afternoon, listening to the live coverage of the Waco hearings, which have been broadcast on KGOU-FM, our local national public radio. Whenever you see anything that says public in it, in the media, it is the voice of socialism. If you don't believe me, turn in to your public TV station. Listen to national public radio. You'll see that the deck is stacked. Everything is socialist, liberal, extreme left wing. There is no balanced reporting, and there is no voice from the right. Period. Ever. There is no conservative voice. Whenever you hear the word public connected with the media, you know we have no voice there. I thought that a nice, quiet dinner away from the coverage would soothe things a bit, but it hasn't. I'm still just as appalled as I was at 3 this afternoon, right after the graphic and sensationalist testimony of young 14-year-old Carrie Jewell. followed by the inexcusable and frankly unbelievable comments offered as filler by National Public Radio's prima donna of Washington, Nina Rottenberg. I wonder how many of you heard it. I didn't. But I've been having reports all day from everyone. I've been very busy today and was up most of the night because of this and many other things that are going on. Now, I remember when Carrie Jewell was taken away from her mother, who was a Branch Davidian, by her father. And this was all done in conjunction with the Cult Awareness Network. At the time, this young girl was examined by social workers and by the child welfare people, children's welfare people in Texas, and she had not been molested at that time. She's had 4 years with her father in the Cult Awareness Network, and all of a sudden, now, she is recounting graphic molestation testimony. Now, I don't want to hurt that little girl, and I'm not going to criticize her. Never. And maybe she was molested by David Koresh. I don't know. You don't know. None of us know. And David Koresh is dead and cannot defend himself. But the public is going to say the stupid, emotional sheeple who do not use their intellect, who are beasts of burden and stakes on the table by choice and consent, will say, oh, then this whole thing was justified. And the left is going to see, these right-wing fanatics were wrong. But we're not wrong. We're not wrong at all. You see, we believe that if children were molested, an investigation should have taken place. There were, in fact, two, which exonerated everyone who lived there, including David Koresh. It's on the public record. If David Koresh was guilty of molesting children, he should have been arrested and prosecuted by the local authorities, and that's where the venue and the jurisdiction lies. And we would be wholeheartedly behind it and for it if that were the case. You see, this is a red herring. It's to take you away from the real issue. The real issue was that the BATF had no business there. They lied from day one, and they're still lying today, as was proven by the testimony of Bill Johnson. Our station chief continues, as I told you over the phone, Miss Jewell's testimony reduced her and several of the hearing members to tears, and the proceedings came to an abrupt halt while the witness recovered from her ordeal and the members of the House temporarily adjourned to vote. I have to admit I was crying too. I had to pull my car off the road, weep a little, and then find a payphone so I could call in a report. I wasn't crying because of Miss Jewell's step-by-step account of alleged sexual molestation at the hands of David Koresh when she was 10 years old. That was bad enough. What put me through the ringer were the comments made by Nina Rottenberg. Ms. Rottenberg has forever contended that the Waco hearings are unnecessary because, in her opinion, the law enforcement agencies of the federal government did nothing wrong before, during, or after the Waco massacre. That is a lie. Barefaced lie. It's been proven over and over again. Everything they did was a lie, was illegal, unlawful, uncalled for, unnecessary, was outright murder. She continues, it was precisely this point of view that she propounded two Sundays ago on David Brinkley's morning program. And whenever she talks about the need for these hearings, she has laughed, and sounded as if she could hardly contain her scorn for the poor, ignorant fools who believe our lily-pure government could ever do anything to hurt anyone. If the Waco hearings were intended to review the actions of the BATF and the FBI in regard to a specific law enforcement action, a venue, jurisdiction, proper procedure, that all went out the window as soon as Miss Jewell appeared in the panel of witnesses. She was very young, extremely attractive, and was appropriately trembling in her speech, stopping occasionally to choke back tears. It was the best picture of 1995 by all accounts. The idea of reviewing the BATF and FBI was immediately replaced by a long period of questioning during which absolutely nothing occurred but maligning the dead. David Koresh cannot defend himself, and even if he was, as is suggested, a man of totally evil intent, that still is not a federal offense requiring the intervention of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and the Federal Bureau of Investigation. It was a matter for the local sheriff and the local police and the local state law enforcement agencies. And that is the real issue. It always has been, always will be, and we are not going to let you deviate anyone from those facts. The crimes of which he was accused today are all, every one of them, state matters, and absolutely none of them were listed in the warrant. And the federal government would never have been brought into the picture if sexual abuse or child abuse had really been at issue. For several hours after the big shock, the hearings took a turn for the worst, where nothing was accomplished except a furtherance of every evil accusation which has ever been made against David Koresh and the Branch Davidians, none of whom could defend themselves, face their accusers, or set the record straight. It is a monkey trial. Only it's not like the one that was conducted calling into question the teaching of creationism versus evolution. No, in this trial, the monkeys are sitting on the committee. If you watch closely, you'll see and hear them act like monkeys and talk like monkeys. You see, because they think the nation is so stupid that we're going to fall for this emotionalism and condemn those people and exonerate the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the butcher Janet Reno and her accomplice from sack to sack Clinton. But we are not. Not ever. As we have stated over and over again on this broadcast, no, sir. It's not going to happen. And let me ask you something. If David Koresh's alleged sexual promiscuity, hopping in and out of bed with every female that came along, no matter what the age was, is really the issue, then why has not the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms raided the White House and pulled Bill Clinton out of his bed and shot him and burned down the White House and killed everybody else in there? She continues, but Bill, it wasn't all of the above that upset me so very much. The whole thing was, anyway, sort of expected. What knocked me for a loop was this. As soon as Miss Jewell had shocked the entire hearing panel with the explicit details of her testimony, Ms. Rottenberg was practically having a stroke in her attempts to lay a "see, I told you so, na-na-na-na-na-na, see, I told you so, na-na-na-na-na-na" rap on the listening audience. She said that it should be obvious to all now that these hearings were totally unnecessary. You see, because David Koresh diddled a little bit with the females around, it's okay for the federal government to go in, use tanks, armored personnel carriers, military, helicopters shooting down through the roof, CS gas, fire, and murder everybody. Never mind they were trying to serve a warrant that they didn't even have. They left it behind. You see, they didn't want to serve a warrant. They lied. They didn't go there to serve a warrant. They didn't knock on the door. They got out of those cattle cars shooting David Koresh stood in the door waving his arms saying, "Wait, stop, please. There are women and children in here. Let's talk. Please don't do this. Let's talk. Stop." They shot him. They're liars. Scum, sucking, Nazi, jackbooted, Gestapo, scum liars. How about that, Miss Rottenberg? You airheaded socialist twit. She said that it should be obvious to all now that these hearings were totally unnecessary and that the raid on the Branch Davidians was justified and reasonable. And she went on to say that Timothy McVeigh blew up the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City as an act of revenge over perceived wrongs perpetrated against the Branch Davidians, a motivation which is to date unproven against a suspect who remains not only unconvicted, but at present unindicted, and has never made any such statement ever. Nina Rottenberg lied. They all lie. They're masters of propaganda, as if there's a school somewhere that teaches these people how to manipulate the sheeple. Ms. Rottenberg, having made herself judge, jury, and executioner in the Oklahoma City bombing case, then stated that McVeigh blew up the building for no cause whatsoever because, obviously, she said, the Waco massacre was a righteous act carried out by dedicated civil servants, innocent law enforcement personnel. The truth is, ladies and gentlemen, the BATF are not, never have been, and never can be law enforcement personnel. They are members of a tax-collecting agency. They are, in the correct terminology, your grandfathers would have known them well, revenuers. She goes on, "At that point, I just had to stop the car. Bill, I know I have been perhaps too closely involved in the Oklahoma City thing, and it is very difficult to be totally detached, objective, unemotional, and rational about every detail of such a horrendous act. But honestly, to first say that McVeigh blew up the building for no real reason, a statement which lacks proof in absolutely every respect, including the fact that he even blew it up, which nobody knows, is the same thing as putting the blame for the explosion at the gravestones of the dead Branch Davidians. I have taken a lot of personal heat over my work in the Oklahoma City investigation, and I have lost the sweetness of my relationships with some of my family members over what we know to be the truth of the situation. And to have Nina Rottenberg sit there in Washington, casually assigning blame and applying her own twisted and uninformed logic to a situation about which she knows absolutely nothing except the official story is a trauma to my entire system. Maybe I just wasn't cut out for this kind of assault. I surely wasn't expecting quite what I got. All I want to say about it is Ms. Rottenberg is full of crap, and Ms. Jewell's testimony, dreadful though it is completely irrelevant to the matters before the hearing committee and plays solely upon the emotionalism of the stupid sheeple of the nation. We're not here to try David Koresh or to systematically list every wrong he may or may not have committed, none of which he can address personally. This entire Waco hearing is nothing but a premeditated setup designed to excuse the government's criminal activities, yes, criminal activities, under the almost harmless guise of, "Oh, we made a mistake. We're so sorry. We're just innocent, and you all are just picking on us." And then they can just keep on doing what they're doing to kill us indiscriminately and without regard for law or due process or just compensation or justice. I'm just sick, Bill, just sick. God bless and big hugs to Bart. I'm going to miss his beautifully smiling face and cheerful voice over the phone. I wish him every good thing in the future and a haven of safety and peace. Good night, Michelle." So there you have it. in perspective the way it should be by someone other than myself who knows what she's talking about. Yes, remember in the mystery series, I revealed to you the complicity of the Walt Disney Studios and Walt Disney himself in the secret societies and in the intelligence community and in the propaganda aimed at our children over the years. Well, have you heard of the new Disney Tomorrowland Alien Encounters show? It's conceived to prepare us for our inevitable alien encounter. And for nearly 50 years, officials have been documenting routine alien encounters here on Earth. Direct quote from the script. And I continue. Essentially, every Strategic Air Command base was visited by UFOs. Visitors from space are routinely examining human specimens, abducting men, women, and children. Roswell, Majestic 12, government cover-up, abductions, and much more. No hint of ridicule, no disclaimer. It is being presented to the public to prepare them for the landing of the external threat from space that will propel us into world government and cause the nations to give up their sovereignty finally and completely, and for the people to perform any required sacrifice to meet this external threat. Can't you just feel the force? Where is Luke Skywalker when we need him? 31 United States Code, Department of the Treasury, Subchapter 1, Organization, Section 301, Department of the Treasury. Section 302, Treasury of the United States. Section 303, Bureau of Engraving and Printing. Section 304, Bureau of the Mint. Section 305, Federal Financing Bank. Section 306, Fiscal Service. Section 307, Office of the Comptroller of the Currency. Section 308, United States Customs Service. 309, Continuing in Office. Subchapter 11, Administrative. General Authority of the Secretary, Working Capital Fund, Investment of Operating Cash, blah, 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 blah. No Internal Revenue Service or Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms in this list or in this chapter, Section 301 to 309. They are not listed as an organization or agency of the Department of the Treasury. That's right. Federal Register, Wednesday, December 15th, 1976, center column, lower part. The term Director, Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Division has been replaced by the term Internal Revenue Service. Starting to get the picture. Federal Alcohol Administration, 27 U.S.C.S., Section 20. I believe it's 1. Yes, 201. Short title, this Act, 27 U.S.C.S., subsection 201, its sequitur may be cited as the Federal Alcohol Administration Act. History, ancillary laws and directives, transfer of functions. Federal Alcohol Administration and Office of Members and Administrator thereof were abolished and had their functions directed to be administered under direction and supervision of the Secretary of Treasury through the Bureau of Internal Revenue, now the Internal Revenue Service. and Department of Treasury by Reorganization Plan Number 3 of 1940, which appears as 5 U.S.C.S. Section 903. Note, see also subsection 8 and 9 of such. Plan for provisions relating to the transfer of records, property, personnel, and funds, etc. Do you even know what I'm talking about? You've been scammed again, folks. This is the foundation creation document for the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Department of the Treasury order, date June 6, 1972. Number 120-01, subject, establishment of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. By virtue of the authority vested in me as Secretary of the Treasury, including the authority in Reorganization Plan No. 26 of 1950, it is ordered that, 1. The purpose of this order is to transfer, as specified herein, the functions, powers, and duties of the Internal Revenue Service arising under laws relating to alcohol, tobacco, firearms, and explosives, including the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Division of the Internal Revenue Service, to the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, hereinafter referred to as the Bureau, which is hereby established. The Bureau shall be headed by the Director of the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, hereinafter referred to as the Director. The Director shall perform his duties under the general direction of the Secretary of the Treasury, hereinafter referred to as the Secretary, and under the supervision of the Assistant Secretary, Enforcement, Tariff, and Trade Affairs and Operations, hereinafter referred to as the Assistant Secretary. 2. The Director shall perform the functions, exercise the powers, and carry out the duties of the Secretary in the administration and enforcement of the following provisions of law. A. Chapters 51, 52, and 53 of the Internal Revenue Code of 1954, and Sections 7652 and 7653 of such code, insofar as they relate to the commodities subject to tax under such chapters. B. Chapters 61 to 80, inclusive of the Internal Revenue Code of 1954, insofar as they relate to activities administered and enforced with respect to Chapters 51, 52, and 53. C. The Federal Alcohol Administration Act, 27 United States Code, Chapter 8. Do you even know what I'm talking about? Page 2. Under I, Section 414 of the Mutual Security Act of 1954, as amended, 22 United States Code 1934, relating to the control of the importation of arms, ammunition, and implements of war. The terms Director, Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Division, and Commissioner of Internal Revenue, were ever used in regulations, rules, and instructions and forms issued or adopted for the administration and enforcement of the laws specified in paragraph 2 hereof, which are in effect or in use on the effective date of this order, shall be held to mean the Director. In other words, they're all the same. Page 3. There shall be transferred to the Bureau all positions, personnel, records, property, and unexpended balances of appropriations, allocations, and other funds of the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Division of the Internal Revenue Service, including those of the Assistant Regional Commissioners, Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Internal Revenue Service. Now listen to this very carefully. This is 27 CFR, Chapter 1, April the 1st, 1994 edition, Section 250.11. Listen very carefully, ladies and gentlemen. Revenue agent. Any duly authorized Commonwealth Internal Revenue Agent of the Department of the Treasury of Puerto Rico. Secretary. The Secretary of the Treasury of Puerto Rico. United States Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Office, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Office in Puerto Rico, operating under the direction of the Regional Director, Compliance, North Atlantic Region, New York, New York, 10048. Do you understand? Do you really understand what I just told you? Real money. The only real money in the law. I know you haven't received your issue of Veritas yet, but when you do, you're going to find out that what you have in your pocket is not money. Never was, is not, can never be. It's not even a note. When you use it to pay for something, you are not paying anything. You are not satisfying a debt. You are merely discharging a debt or delaying it. That is why you don't have title to anything. You have certificates and warrant deeds and things like that that don't mean anything. What it basically means is that you're renting it. You can only purchase real property with real money. You can only eliminate a debt and satisfy a debt by paying the debt with real money. The law states, real money is a specific weight in measurement of silver coin or the equivalent value in gold coin. This specific weight in measurement is called a dollar. When you pick out a paper dollar, it says dollar on it out of your wallet, it is not a dollar at all, any more than a quart is a glass of milk. A quart is a unit of measurement, so is a dollar. Most of you have never seen real money, never touched it. Some of you, of course, have. I suggest you call Swiss America Trading. I suggest you ask them how you can get your hands on some real money, either silver or gold. I suggest that you hold it in your hand and look at it, feel it, touch it, and then all of a sudden it will begin to dawn on you how you've been fooled. Call 1-800-289-2646. Tell them that you are a steady, true, blue listener to the hour of the time. Thank them for sponsoring this broadcast and for believing in the message of William Cooper. For I'm just a messenger. And then ask them how you can get your hands on some real money. They'll help you. They have a special offer in this issue of Veritas, which, from my limited knowledge of the subject, I plan on taking advantage of. 1-800-289-2646, or, if it's easier to remember for you, 1-800-BUY-COIN. Without Swiss America Trading, you would never hear the hour of the time. You owe them. If you ever consider protecting at least a part of your assets, do it with Swiss America Trading. Always reward those who reward you. Loyalty is a great thing. Very, very scarce in patriot communities. Socialists are successful by a large
part simply because they support their causes with money. They support those who sponsor them. They support those who help them. Patriots, by and large, do not. They look for the cheapest value, even if it helps their enemy. And that's got to stop. Trade with those who help you. And Swiss America Trading has been helping you for an awful long, long time. 1-800-289-2646. And when you call, they'll be helping you again, whether you fully realize it or not. That is the truth. Only those who have real money are going to survive when everything comes crashing down. And folks, it will, for it can do nothing else. You see, if you put $1,000 in an interest-bearing account, at a very low interest, I'm not going to tell you the number, you figure it out, but it's not a high rate of interest, and leave it there for 140 years, that's right, 140 years. How many of you know how much money would be accrued as interest? And if everybody in the country did that, where would they get that money that's interest to pay you? For the same reason, when you buy a home for $60,000 on a 30-year note, do you realize that you have to pay back at 7% over $250,000. The only money that was created out of thin air when they made that bookkeeping entry and loaned you that $60,000 was the $60,000. Where does the other $190,000 come from? That is used to pay off the interest. And this is happening all over the country with every home that's ever purchased. Don't you understand? Make sure you get Veritas and read it. You will begin to see the light at the end of the tunnel. 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. 1-800-BUY-COIN. Now I'm going to give you some key questions to ask any tax attorney, CPA, or income tax or untax expert that you may know. For if they are truly expert and knowledgeable, they should be able to answer all of these questions. If they can't, they are incompetent. Incompetent. Your tax expert needs to know the answers to all of these questions to deal with the alleged Internal Revenue Service effectively, whether you're filing an income tax return or not. Without your expert having all of this knowledge and more, you could be in danger of criminal prosecution simply because of ignorance, not because you've really done anything wrong. Number one, how many Internal Revenue Services are there? If the answer is one, your expert has already failed this test, and so have you. For to date, we've found at least 30. That's right. And depending on your circumstance, depends upon which one of those 30 you're dealing with. You may be dealing with several. Number two, in which tax class or classes is a Form 1040 official class? Are you filing a Form 1040? Are you filing it just because you think you're supposed to file it? Is it the right form for you to file? Number three, how many tax classes are there? And what are they? And to whom and what do they pertain? Number four, what is so unusual about tax class 6 and what agency is in charge of this tax class? Number five, why can a 3-digit computer paragraph code such as a 515 never refer to a Form 1040? To what form does it refer? Number six, how many items are in the sequence of a letter 516? What are they? And what does this signify to your client? Number seven, what is an IMF? 8, what is a BMF? 9, what is a NMF? 10, what is a liability transcript? 11, what does a TC-150 on an IMF designate, and where is this information found? And I can go on and on. In fact, I have 80 such questions here. Number 47, what is the difference between an audit and an examination, and who is legally subject to each? Number 53, what is the difference between a taxable and non-taxable 1040 and 1120? Where in the operations manual is this found? Which have you been filing? And what blocking series numbers denotes that fact? Number 54, where is the only service center at which I may lawfully file a 1040? And where is this found in statute? 55, what is Operation Phoenix? Number 64, have you read Internal Revenue Manual 3 in its entirety, all 20,000 plus pages? If not, you cannot deal with these people. Number 62, have you read the delegation orders of the Internal Revenue Service, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and Customs Service? By the way, we finally discovered Lars Hansen is a customs officer. For many of you, that won't mean anything. For many of you, it will. 67, what does the Federal Alcohol Administration have to do with the IRS? 72, what did U.S. versus Wigglesworth say, and why is this important to you in your case? 73, what is the lawful power of Congress to pass laws concerning the 50 states and are the territories, and where is this found in statute besides the Constitution of the United States? Number 75, what is the significance of the Philippines in relation to the 16th Amendment? Number 77, why are most tax cases lost early on in procedural errors, and how do I avoid these? Number 79, in how many tax cases have you successfully prevented your client from being charged or convicted? Number 80, if you don't know the answers to all of the above questions, what makes you qualified to handle anyone's taxes, including your own? And remember, I just read you just a little few of these. Number 49, what is the relationship between the district director and the assistant commissioner international? How about that, folks? Well, if you'd like to find the answers to all of these, I'm going to turn you on to something that I normally wouldn't do, and I'm going to be there. On July 29th at 9:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. in Phoenix, Arizona. The cost is $60 prepaid, $75 cash only at the door. Now listen to me, if you're going to show up, don't bring your checkbook. $75 cash only at the door. Price includes all class materials, including important government documents and a specialized BATF FOIA manual. And at this seminar, folks, if you're listening and paying attention, and if you have some brains, you will learn the following, all supported by statutory cites and Freedom of Information Act evidence. You'll learn the statutory relationship between the BATF and the Internal Revenue Service, which is only an alias for the Federal Alcohol Administration. The Federal Alcohol Act was declared unconstitutional by the United States Supreme Court in the 1930s and thence moved to Puerto Rico, a territory of the federal United States. Get it? the statutory interrelationship among BATF, the IRS, and the U.S. Secret Service, Maine Treasury, and U.S. Customs Service, and how this affects you. How the BATF's lawful jurisdiction is only relevant to Puerto Rico, and what that means to you. See, when I told you they didn't have venue or jurisdiction in Waco, Texas, I wasn't just talking about the federal government versus the state. Their jurisdiction, their lawful jurisdiction, is only, and has always been, only relevant to Puerto Rico. You'll learn how federal firearms licenses, or FFLs, are statutorily relevant only to federal territories, and how gun dealers in the 50 states have been tricked into filing for and signing these forms, and what they can do about this now. The statutory structure of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and how to effectively file for the Freedom of Information Act, BATF, U.S. Secret Service, Maine Treasury, and U.S. Customs Service to get the answers they don't want you to have. Answers that you can bet your butts will not surface in this phony monkey hearing. And you'll also learn how to make an effective Freedom of Information Act request to the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms pertaining to the Waco massacre. Also, at this seminar will be a secret 400-plus page official United States Treasury document signed by Lloyd Benson, Secretary of the Treasury, detailing the Waco incident with accompanying FOIAs, which you can file to discover and uncover federal government abuses and lies. Now, if you want to attend this seminar, if I were you, I would enclose your money, $60 prepaid, $60 prepaid, money order, and send it overnight. And I'm looking. Oh, here it is. Send it overnight. Send $60 to reserve your space at this seminar to Wayne C. Benson. Wayne C. Benson. 405C. That's 405C. South Beeline Highway. That's 405C. South Beeline Highway. Payson, spelled P-A-Y-S-O-N, Arizona, Payson, Arizona, 85541. That's Wayne C. Benson, 405C, South Beeline Highway, Payson, Arizona, 85541. For information, you can call this number. Do not call tonight. The number is 520. That's our new area code. If that doesn't work, try 602. In some areas of the country, the 520 has not kicked in yet. So if it doesn't work, try 602. It's 520-472-1022. That's 520-472-1022. After July 21st, there will be no refunds on cancellations or prepaid tickets. There will be no refunds on cancellations on prepaid tickets after July 21st. So if you send your money in and you call after July 21st and say you want to cancel, forget it, your money is gone, you will not get it back, and I have informed you of that up front. Okay? I'll be there. I hope to see you there, you see, because this guy knows a lot more than I know, and I want to learn what he knows. And we're going to have him as a guest on this broadcast probably for 5 or 6 nights in a row, because what he's got to say is just incredible. but it's not going to be for a while, and you're not going to learn on this broadcast what you're going to learn in that class or that seminar in Phoenix. Now, if you want to show up and pay at the door, it's at the Holiday Inn at 2532 West Peoria and Interstate 17 Freeway. That's Holiday Inn at 2532 West Peoria and Interstate 17 in Phoenix, Arizona. July 29th from 9:30 to 5 p.m. That's 9:30 in the morning to 5 p.m. Holiday Inn at 2532 West Peoria and Interstate 17 Freeway in Phoenix, Arizona, July 29th, 9:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Okay, I've said a mouthful tonight, folks. And we've still got a little bit of time left. I'm going to let you say a mouthful, because to tell you the truth, we've lost Bart. I don't know if the paper will still be as good as it has been. These young people who came to put this paper together have far surpassed my wildest dreams. No, Bart is not in jail. His parents, his girlfriend, his relatives, his uncle and aunts just have raised holy hell over him being falsely charged with this phony setup betrayal by turncoats. It could have ruined his life forever. It would have been a terrible thing. He's like a son to me. I'm really very upset at losing him. And you know what? He was so afraid that I would be angry with him when he told me. He's not a coward. He's not afraid. He just cannot allow his family, his loved ones, to suffer as they are suffering over this. And so he is going back home. I love him. I will miss him. I wish him all the very best and will always be there whenever he needs me. And I'm sure that he will be there if I ever need him again also. Good evening, you're on the air. Another poopy diaper. You know something, folks? You know, I better not say it. I just don't like most of you right now. I really don't. I'm pretty disgusted. I've been fighting this battle a long time. It seems like all we get is just more and more crap heaped up on our heads. And I'm just sick of it. So, you know, I think I have a right to say this. All of you, just go kiss off. If you don't like it, stick it where the sun don't shine.